Bang! What is up, my pieces? Corey Vincent here with a new episode of Video Game Bang, Sacramento's number one spot for all things video game, geek culture, comic books, as you're going to see in this week's episode. Kicking it off is my right-hand man, the first horseman of the apocalypse. What is up, David Webb?
What's going on, everybody? I'm trying to remember what the first horseman is. They're all themed, right?
I mean, take your pick. Yeah. I didn't really have one in mind.
take death. Death is awesome.
Okay, yeah, there you go. Cool. Yeah, apparently I'm death. What's going on, everybody?
How you been, David?
I've been good. I made a very exciting purchase today.
Really?
Yes. I'm intrigued. I purchased some LED lights with softboxes for the stream.
Hey!
Yeah.
Stream's coming back.
It's coming back.
Oh.
Purchased the ones that we have in studio, so it's actually... Okay. If you watch us on Twitch, that's how good I'm going to look.
Twitch.tv/videogamebang. We had a sweet sweetheart came in last week, listened to the podcast for many, many moons, dropped by the stream, Twitch.tv/videogamebang, made an account and started hanging out with us. It was really nice. We love those types of stories and vice versa. If you listen to the show, watch it live here on Twitch, we'd appreciate you go give the podcast an old subscription. If you have an iPhone, you do it on iTunes. Anything else, you can do it on Spotify, Podcatcher, Podbean, Audio Boom, SoundCloud, I think.
Not SoundCloud.
No, not SoundCloud anymore?
Well, I mean, I think old ones are still there.
We spend a lot of time on SoundCloud, but then when you stop paying, they delete all your shit.
Oh, well, then you probably
SoundCloud is great for rappers because each song is like 3 minutes, and they're like, hey, we'll give you 2 hours space for free.
Oh, yeah.
For
that's
a podcast.
Like 6 mixtapes.
It's like, that's
that's like 5 mixtapes.
That's why it's so appealing. But for podcasters, it was garbo because you're like, episode 3, all right, now I'm paying money. Like,
yes.
It was a bad experience. What is up, Curtis?
Yo, yo. Man, I got caught up in the whole SoundCloud thing. Remember my old SoundCloud mixtape days. I have two.
Is it still active? Are they still active?
Yeah. There's still stuff up there, man. You can go find stuff.
What would if someone was interested in maybe delving into this? Where would they find it?
They would. I believe it's similar to Nexus. Kurt is here for my name, Curtis, and I think the other one. Gosh, what was the other one? The other one might be Skipintosh, for all I know.
What is on there? What could sell us? Why would
beats.
People go listen? Is
hot,
it just beats?
Hot beats.
You dropping flows?
Is
there bars?
Is there any bars on there? There might be a song with some bars on there. That it's a Blackintosh song that didn't get released. So
ooh. No way!
Wow, and it's about Natomas too.
Oh really?
Wow.
What is it? Is there Natomas high credibility?
There's like I recorded it like. Almost 10 years ago now, so there's like restaurants that aren't here anymore, like Payway. I don't know if anybody
Arby's. Man, I really want a roast beef sandwich right now.
Dude, that's so local of rap to not even just be Sacramento to go all the way to Natomas.
Heck yeah, baby.
Truxell Boulevard, baby, baby.
Baby, baby. That's it. Super Nintendo
Switch. Sega
Genesis. No, Nintendo Switch.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, baby.
And then filling in for the sick Emma Skies, they can't be on the show together because of the last time they interacted. It was explosive. Nexus was here, is here. What is up?
Yes, hello. I won. I won that show, by the way.
Oh!
Boom. Flag in the
right.
ground.
I forgot. I was like, when was it explosive? Oh,
Monopoly.
Yeah. Monopoly.
The Monopoly episode
Monopoly.
Of 2019. Go back
you
and check that one out.
Always win with Monopoly.
That was.
I mean, unless you don't win with Monopoly, because there's only one winner of Monopoly.
And when you lose all your friendships, did you really win?
Yeah, that's the thing. It's like...
Were we really friends to begin with?
Whoa!
Oh! Bam! Oh!
Bang.
Bang bomb.
Right in the feels.
Yikes. Yeah, like, you know how, like, you get, like, Mario Kart is, like, a test of friendships?
Oh, yes.
It's like, back in the day, it was Monopoly.
It
if
was.
You can make it through Monopoly and you're friends at the end of the day, because you just bankrupt all your friends, you can make it through anything.
I lost
like
a cousin.
We're bankrupting all the zombies.
Just like we're bankrupting all the zombies. Not long after that episode, I actually saw, I think, who was your ace in the hole? What was his name? The raccoon?
Tom Nook.
Tom Nook. I saw like a Tom Nook meme or something. It's like, ah, so this is the...
Never again.
Never defeated Tom Nook.
Yes.
Tom Cook. What is it? Tom Nook?
Tom Nook.
Tom Nook.
Tom Cook is...
Tim Cook?
Oh, CEO of Apple. There we go.
Yeah.
All right.
There you go. It all comes back to Apple.
Boss man.
So we have a new segment that we're going to debut on the show. It doesn't have a theme song, unfortunately.
Yet.
I apologize. Yet. It's in the works. But we have a great sponsor, Oblivion Comics and Coffee, who we talk about all the time for their comics and their coffee. But we want to focus a little bit more on the comic book. So they have been lovely enough to loan out a comic book to Curtis here to check out. It's brand new, and he's going to give us the full-fledged review and let us know what he thinks about it.
Heroes in Crisis number 6 came out today. So thank you to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for donating this copy.
First try. We'll fix it in post.
To do a little review on. It's non-spoiler, so don't worry about it. It just came out today. I wouldn't do that to you guys. I wouldn't spoiler it. But I do just want to kind of review and give it my thoughts and kind of talk around it. Anybody who's not current, this is a Heroes in Crisis. Current event going on in DC. Writer Tom King, as well as, I'm trying to think, Clayman is the artist. And we had a little special appearance from Mitch Gerards. So anybody who's familiar with Tom King and Mitch Gerards, you'll probably know of the Mr. Miracle run that they, I believe, just wrapped up, that they did together, which everybody was raving about. Tom King, I got introduced to him over on the Marvel side. He did a really good Vision run, which shout out to Amy of the Capist Crusaders for letting me borrow that and putting me on Tom King. But currently we're on issue number 6. Two kind of popular superheroes have died. It's a mystery on how they died. They died at a place called Sanctuary, which is basically a place that the Superman, Batman, and Wonder Woman set up for any heroes to go and get therapy, and some, well, mainly therapy, because when you go through this, you see so many of your friends get hurt or die, because it's comic books, right? Everybody dies and
that's
comes
true,
back.
And it's a side of comic books they don't really talk too much about.
Mental health.
They did in the, what was it, Iron Man 2 or 3, or the one where Tony Stark has really bad
PTSD. That one was in, the alcoholism one was in 2, and then the PTSD was in 3. Two was like the alcoholism
type
thing.
The one that took place after Avengers.
Yeah, number 3.
He was still like crazy from the aliens and his death experience.
And he was like having anxiety. He kept having panic attacks.
Yeah, that's because sick. So
he'd
that's
go and sit in the suit.
Yeah,
and like Jarvis would be like, "Yeah,
yeah, you're like your vitals are." Which is funny because that movie is actually how I found out that I was having panic attacks.
Really?
Yeah, because I watched Iron Man 3. I was like, "He's acting like I'm acting, but I don't got no suit of armor."
So that's how this is kind of where you're going in this.
Yeah, exactly. So like any of the heroes who are dealing with that, like Arsenal, for instance, like the original Red Arrow, you know, Green Arrow sidekick. Well, he picked up a drug habit because of like injuries and different stuff that happened. He lost his arm, other arm attached. So it shows them, like, there's panels where they're in there literally like talking to the AI that does the therapy in Sanctuary, and they like reveal different things. Batgirl at one point in time, I think it was 2 issues ago, number 4, like shows the bullet wounds where Joker shot her from the Killing Joke. So all of that stuff kind of gets touched on in here. But so far, it's interesting. This particular issue kind of went around 3 different storylines: Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy spending time together. Harley Quinn is like one of the suspects who may have been involved with the murders. And then it also goes follows Wally West, who people might have known. He, you know, they got rid of him in the New 52.
He was in the Speed Force.
And then came back for Rebirth a few years ago when Geoff Johns did Rebirth, and they brought back all the characters that people missed. This I think is pushing us into the next phase of DC, like past Rebirth. So it's really interesting to watch, like, how he was sad because he came back but his family didn't. So they're saying like, okay, he's really sad. He's dealing with that. And then Harley Quinn's dealing with her thing. And then the last thing was his name is Narc, or like Gnaark. I'm not familiar with him. It seems like it's like a really old DC property, but he's kind of almost like was it a Dragon Boy and I'm trying to remember. It's like from Marvel. It's like the boy and the dinosaur. He's kind of like that. Mm-hmm. Like he's like a caveman, and he's having like these, like he's speaking simple, but he's having like philosophical thoughts, and he's referencing like poetry and stuff like that. But ultimately, it kind of all wraps up in, like, what is life? Is life just people passing and going? Is it just energy going back and forth? These memories that we create,
what
are they serious?
What are comics book these days?
Yeah. Dude, it gets
I don't want to read
deep.
These. These are going to really mess deep. With my psyche and, yeah. like, ruin crisis. My... Yeah, existential crisis.
Oh, and that literally the end of it, that's what it comes down to. It comes down to a little existential crisis.
Wow.
So, thank you again to Oblivion Comics and Coffee for donating this to us so we can review it. Anybody in the Sacramento area, or even if you're not, if you're local, if you stop in Sacramento, you need a place to grab some coffee, get some comics, please visit them in downtown on K Street.
Actually. Right there on K Street, right where yep. all the action is.
Absolutely.
Wow. So we got also some news.
Emma.
Corey. It's telling the news. That was the remix.
The remix.
A little overdub.
Where's Diddy at? Diddy.
My friends can tell your friend. Oh, okay.
There we go.
So we have some good news. There's a lot going around today, specifically. So this is hot off the presses. There was a Pokemon Go. Not Pokemon Go. That's how I spend my life normally, is Pokemon Go. But the Pokemon turned 23 years old today. If you guys didn't know that.
That's older than me.
Oh, that's just sad.
Holy crap.
It's older than me.
Nexi wins.
Yeah, Nexus Woo! Wins. So
I win again.
You win again.
But you were saying you're a huge Pokemon fan.
I am.
So how did you get introduced so late?
Well, it wasn't very late. It was me being introduced to it when I was like 5 years old. Nice. Because I have a brother who's 10 years older than me, and he kind of handed down all of these things. I started playing Pokemon on the Game Boy Color, playing Pokemon Red, and I also played Pokemon Crystal a lot, which was really fun. So I always played those on the Game Boy Color, and ever since then I just like have played almost all of the Pokemon games aside from Gen 5.
Which one was that?
That is Black and White and Black and White 2.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I didn't play those either. I skipped, just so we could frame the reference here before we hop into all the news, I was obviously around during the heyday of the original Pokemons.
Yeah.
I played Blue. My friend David Ng had Red, and we traded back and forth. Like, we mastered that game. I played through Yellow when I didn't even know like it was going to be the same fucking game. I got halfway through. I was like, what is this shit? Like, I just get Pikachu? Like, where's the differences? Yeah. But I played it all to completion.
Nice. Yeah.
Then Silver, best of all time, in my opinion.
Word.
Because, again, when you're that young, you're not paying attention to the news. You have zero expectations. So you just know I like Pokemon. And so when I get the game, it's like a wild experience.
Yeah.
You talk to your friends at school about it, but that's about it.
Right.
So when I played through the new region, caught all the new Pokemon, and then they're like, oh, by the way, you're going back to Kanto, baby. And you go and get to run through all 8 badges again that you did in the first one, but just with your new Pokemon, was so like the best surprise twist a video game gave me at that age.
Yeah.
So as far as I'm concerned, I had twice the video game and they've never matched that level again.
What'd you go after that?
I waited a little while until I think like it was one of the later ones. What came after Black and White?
That was X and Y.
X and Y, yeah.
Oh, wow,
I didn't come
really?
Back until X and Y, and then I did a little bit of Sun and Moon, and now they just announced the 8th generation of Pokemon.
Dang.
And it's Pokemon Sword and Pokemon Shield coming to the Nintendo Switch this year.
Yeah.
So this one takes place in an entirely new region. The Pokemon are from the Galar region. It's an expansive region with diverse environments, countrysides. Like, they showed a really in-depth trailer that we watched in the Nintendo Direct.
Mm-hmm.
If you haven't seen it and you are a Pokemon fan, you're going to want to, because it is, when I saw it, the first thing that popped in my head was, this is what I wanted as a kid. You always wanted that experience of taking that digital game and blowing it up, because console started evolving so fast.
Right, yeah. It's N64 was around. But
yeah.
You had the polygons. Yeah.
Yeah, we had the technology, but for some reason, they never bridged the gap to the premier N64, GameCube, Wii.
Well, they were limited by the technology of their time.
Maybe because
Game Boy was only so advanced.
Yeah,
technology was only you can only make.
And then you have the Game Boy.
Yeah, then they actually created the Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, which was
which was again only so advanced.
Exactly.
Basically the same thing with color.
Yeah. It was more advanced,
but
than
it wasn't
the Game
Boy color. No, so
this is true.
I feel like they could have
a real head scratcher now.
Yeah,
they could have made a full Pokemon game on the Wii though. Like
on the Wii,
easily.
Yeah.
They did have that Pokemon farming game where you could transfer your Pokemon from the DS to the farm.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
I wasted my Jirachi that I got from a GameStop on that game, and then I lost it.
Oh, that's
in the digital ether?
Yep. It's in cyberspace somewhere now.
David looks perplexed.
Well, yeah, so, like going back really quick, so I did blue, yellow, gold, and then Alpha Sapphire.
Okay, yeah, so you came back.
And then that was the last one. I haven't even finished Alpha Sapphire. But I want to get Let's Go, one of the Let's Go's. And so that's my question here is, how is this different? Like, is this after Let's Go, or is Let's Go its own thing?
Let's Go is kind of like a side game. Like, you know how you have the Pokemon Mystery Dungeon games are still a Pokemon series, but they're a side series?
Gotcha.
So Pokemon Let's Go isn't technically... I've also never played it, but
it's not
disregard
like canon.
That. It's still
it's a weird
canon
mix.
Yeah, because it's still like a Pokemon game, but it's similar in the sense of saying that the Pokemon anime is canon when it's not relative to the games at all.
I gotcha.
So,
all
right. Gotcha.
So it's kind of its own side thing where you're not like really doing as much. It's tied to Pokemon Go.
It's watered down. They kind of give you that feel of like full 3D environments, but it's you don't have actual battles to catch the Pokemon.
You're only catching the Pokemon. Right. That's all it is.
Yeah, there are battles and a system like that that you can use, and there's all the gyms and the gym battles, but for the most part, when you're walking around, it's not like you have to search the tall grass for 6 hours before you get that random encounter.
Yeah, because, you see the Pokemon.
That's cool. That's
but,
cool.
But they, it didn't appear like they implemented it through the trailer for Pokemon Sword and Shield. They're going back to having it be hidden.
Right, and you have to kind of sense
but,
it.
Yeah, so it kind of seems like Pokemon Let's Go was almost like a kind of trying out the graphics and how, like, everything, all the components for it, how everything works, how it plays, but implementing the classic style of Pokemon with battling and the tall grass, everything like that, into it. So actually taking what they were able to create from Let's Go and turning it into a real Pokemon
It's a
game.
Sight to behold. Yeah. Please go watch that trailer, just if you haven't already. It's so good, and it's just that nostalgia, and they did some really cool stuff. Like it seems like they're putting emphasis on like becoming a Pokemon champion, not necessarily through the Elite Four like they did before. Like they show your character in like a kit, like a Pokemon trainer jersey.
You go
almost,
into like battles,
walking
and, like,
into like a big like Coliseum.
Yeah,
basically. There's all the stuff you love, the caves that made an appearance, the forests. So it looks like it's just going to be the updated version. They didn't really delve into the new Pokemon too much outside of the starters. So they did give us some new starters. They gave us Grookey, who is a grass type, like chimp, that seems to be mischievous, full of boundless curiosity, they say. I think by far the weakest of the three. I don't know how you guys are feeling.
I saw
so many people are standing Grookey, and I'm over here like, no.
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 So when you played the other ones, what was the first, like, what type did you go with?
Is it starter? I almost exclusively went with fire types.
Okay.
I just love fire type Pokemon. I love their design so much and the way that they battle and the types of moves that they can learn. But certain generations, Gen 4 in Sinnoh, I chose Turtwig instead. I chose the grass type because I simply didn't like the design of Chimchar.
Yeah.
So I exclusively go with fire types.
Corey, you did fire types too, right?
No, I bounce around.
Okay.
I go completely based off the character model. Like, I'm a Bulbasaur. Old school.
Okay.
Charmander.
Yeah, nah, team Bulbasaur all the way. I was actually probably that one was more influenced by the cartoon. I think I was really into just that.
That's
that
the
episode.
Thing, because I was playing. Because yeah, at that time we were watching the cartoon as we were playing the game.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I loved Chimchar, and not so much Chimchar, but Infernape.
I didn't like the design of Infernape, and also that reminds me, even in the Alola region in Sun and Moon, I didn't pick Litten because I hated Incineroar's design. I thought Incineroar looked really weird.
He does.
Yeah. Just very, very strange. I'm okay with other Pokemon that are similar to it, like a Machop or a Machamp or anything like that. But Incineroar just looked and felt very wrong to me. And so I
looked and felt very wrong to me.
He's really weird.
Yeah.
Wow.
So I ended up choosing Rowlet, which I ended up naming Robin Hoot.
Oh, good one. You know what, though? That was the best choice. I chose that one, too, because his final type is like a ghost. Like, he's a beast.
And the design is gorgeous.
Yeah, that's true.
I feel like, what was the other one? Popplio?
I don't remember.
Popplio did not get as much love, even though Popplio's final design or final evolution, it's designed very beautiful and elegant, but it's also it's kind of hard to really base things off of that. I don't know. Popplio just didn't get enough love.
So we got Grookey. I wasn't too impressed by this one. My favorite was Scorbunny.
Same.
He's like a fire rabbit looking Pokemon that's bursting with energy and fire. He makes a pretty good impression in the little animation they show at the beginning. And then this is the one I've seen memed the most. His name is Sobble. And he's like a sad, like, petrified lizard water thing.
And he turns invisible.
Like a salamander.
Like a salamander. Yeah, there you go. And, like, the sheer look on his face in the standstill art looks like they murdered his family in front of him. Like,
have you seen the meme where he's put next to Shia LaBeouf because he has,
that's
like,
that's my favorite one, yeah. And he just has, like, a frown.
Do it!
And then he has this, he's like this, and it's next to that meme. And then the caption I saw was, like, same energy or something like that.
Exact same energy. Sobble, the poor son.
Oh, man.
We asked chat what their favorite starter was. Under Inspired Games, OG friends of the show say Charmander. Of course.
Yes.
He's the GOAT.
Charmander's the GOAT.
He was the best card, the most rare.
Oh, yeah.
He had 120 HP or whatever. It can do a shitload of 100 damage. Like, he was a beast.
Yeah, he's a heavy hitter.
Lost Sheep says he's part of the Squirtle Squad.
Hey, Squirtle Squad.
Squirtle Squad for life. And who else? Ego Brain says Pikachu, our social media guy.
Oh.
A Girl Keeps Secret says Wartortle, but that doesn't matter.
You can't. That's, no. You don't start.
Yeah, it's not a starter. But the way that the Poker Rap guy said his name was pretty hard. Pretty badass.
War Turtle.
Oh, yeah.
Then he's like, Mewtwo, Pikachu, Kara,
I'm a night slowpoke.
He turns into Batman.
Yeah, then he turns into War Turtle.
It is pretty awesome. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, so keep your eye out for the new Pokemon game. Needless to say, I'm going to be picking this one up day one by late 2019. They didn't put a specific date on it, just late 2019. The other thing that came out, though, too, I think it might have been today or maybe yesterday, was the second trailer for Detective Pikachu.
Yesterday.
Was it yesterday?
Yes, it was. My favorite thing is hearing people freak out about Pikachu yelling, "Get me the hell out of here!"
Wait, was there issues with that?
Oh, people were just surprised to hear Pikachu say hell.
Well,
that was it.
Yeah, like, okay. Oh.
Because we don't know what he's saying in the cartoon. He's saying Pika Pika. He'd be like, get the fuck out of here, dude. Yeah. These are giant ass birds.
Yeah. What was that, like, episode 2?
First one.
Like, was it the first
one? I think
episode?
It was like the first. It was either one or two, but yeah, when, like, the Pidgeys attack them?
Furos,
yeah.
Spearows. That was a good episode. That's like, that one
Spearow,
hit you in the feels early. I started watching Pokemon with my wife as adults,
yeah.
Like, as 30
so
year
good.
Olds. Yeah. We started watching it. And during that episode where they start picking on Ash and then Pikachu uses what little energy he has to, like, zap them all after being a dick the whole time.
Yeah.
Like,
and then they attack Pikachu.
Legit tears. And then he's just running through the forest with his Pikachu, you know, like, to... That's how they originally formed the bond that goes on
exactly
for a lifetime.
Yeah,
I think the one like original Pokemon series like episode that really got me in the feels, like especially watching it as an adult, is the one where they introduce the Charmander. And the Charmander is left out in the rain.
He has a dickhead owner.
Because he was left on the stone in the rain in hopes of his owner coming back to him. And his owner's like, I'll be right back. I'll be back for you. And then he's talking in like the Poke Center, like, oh, that stupid Charmander. And I'm just like, boy. I turned into Kratos for a second.
Boy. That is a good episode. And then like Charmander starts like beefing up and the guy's like, oh, I want him back. You know, like he tries to get him back and the Charmander says, nah, bro. I got a new.
That also reminds me of that episode where the dude is training the Pokemon with like shock therapy.
And
I'm like,
Pokemon abuse.
That's just actual like how dog fighting.
Yeah, what's like, funny? That's another super early episode. It's a Sandshrew.
Yeah,
that the guy's training, but the Sandshrew's badass. Like he whoops the shit out of Pikachu and stuff. He's like a militant soldier, and Ash is like the whole lesson of that. There's so many good lessons, man.
Yeah,
seriously.
New podcast, Pokemon. The Pokemon. We're gonna go through as adults,
the Pokecast,
and break these how they apply to your life.
Got to.
Damn. But going back on subject,
Detective Pikachu.
Detective Pikachu put out a trailer. I was just whelmed. I have no interest in seeing it.
What?
Zero. What? Okay, this is perfect because let's take a poll of the room. Curtis.
Not seeing it.
David.
Probably will see it.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting. All right. Nexus?
I'm seeing it day one, and I will see it the day after, and the day after.
Why?
And the day after.
How? Just because it's Pokemon?
No, not that. There's so much into it that I love where, like, the Pokemon designs... I don't know if you guys ever saw, like, the realistic Pokemon designs that came out, like, a couple years ago. The very intricate designs.
Yeah.
And they hired that artist to work on the film.
It makes sense.
It's so phenomenal. Yeah. And just the graphics of it, and it adds such, like, a funny twist to it. And I've always wanted to play since it came out, and I still haven't played it, the Detective Pikachu game. I think it looks really fun, and the movie, it's just so entertaining. It's such a weird twist.
You know what would get me in the door day one is if they got rid of all the Ryan Reynolds voice lines.
Yep.
And they cast somebody new.
Yep.
And I got the perfect actor.
Danny DeVito.
No. That's a funny meme. Ooh, like I've seen that one going around. But no, the dude who plays My Name is Earl. You guys remember this guy?
Jason Lee.
Jason Lee.
The skateboarder.
Skateboarder turned actor.
Yeah. I don't know the voice, so.
He was
That's a good call.
He'd be infinitely better cuz he wouldn't distract. He'd still have the same
the kind of tone and the humor that it's only slightly different, and since he's not as well known, he wasn't Deadpool when we didn't see his face for half of a movie and we just heard the voice. I think I feel that.
You don't get
bro.
that part that's like this.
That was actually kind of good. Holy shit!
If you closed your eyes, you would have thought Ryan Reynolds was here.
There's a 0.5 second interval. I was like, "Where the fuck did Ryan get here?"
That butterfly kicks in again.
That's the side of Ryan Reynolds I don't like. I like the normal side, but I don't like when he starts talking like that side of it.
I don't know. I just really I do like hearing Ryan Reynolds do voice acting. Like I don't know if you guys ever saw the movie. It wasn't super popular, The Croods.
I remember it,
was one of the first movies where I actually like recognized Ryan Reynolds' voice, and maybe he is like his name is being put on like everything nowadays, but or even like within the past few years, but it's still like I don't want that to keep me from having a good time with a movie from a franchise that I have loved and has influenced a lot of my life. If I don't like it after seeing it, that's fine, but at least I'm giving it a chance.
Give it a shot,
Corey.
David, where are you at? I mean, you surprised me, man, because you didn't seem too impressed with the trailer, but you're going to be in the theaters.
So it's kind of like, it's a mix of things. 50% I want to say ironically, because I don't think it's going to be a great movie. I'm going in there with very low expectations.
But did you see Mewtwo?
I did see Mewtwo. So that's another part of it is like some of the Pokemon look freaky as hell.
Mr.
Mime. Like Mr. Mime. Mm-hmm. Like
Lotoed.
Yeah. Lucky Tongue.
Yeah.
I could have done without being. It's like they chose,
it just, like rolls out.
Whoever designed the movie thought, who are the ones that people don't want to see in real life?
I want to see Gyarados. Ones? I want to see a Gyarados in that movie.
Yeah. Let's go.
That would be phenomenal. Let's go Pokemon.
I'd go just for a Gyarados scene.
Yeah.
Red Gyarados.
Oh, Red Gyarados.
Yes.
I think that, yeah. So, but actually, like, to kind of go against, like, the grain, a lot of people don't like it. Like, you two are saying you don't like it because of Ryan Reynolds' voice.
Yeah.
And that's part of why, like, I don't even care. Like, I'm a Ryan Reynolds fan. I think he's probably one of my favorite comedic actors because I really dig that comedy that he does.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it's very sarcastic and, like, dry and stuff. And that's how, like I think most of my comedy is.
Okay.
So, like, I relate to it.
Word.
And seeing a character like Pikachu having that sense of humor, I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not, like, super hyped for it, but yeah. I'm here for it.
You with it?
I'm with it.
Okay. So you kind of alluded to some of the cool reveals that we got into that in that trailer. It looks like there's going to be like an underground pit fighting episode part that's going to have Pikachu versus Charizard that looked pretty awesome.
Yeah. One of my favorite Pokemon. I love Charizard so much.
Charizard he looks really sick. Good too.
Yeah. He's so well designed.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, that's what I can't get over with this movie, and that's why I'm so excited to see it. Because as an artist and being able to see all of the ways that these Pokemon have been designed and throughout the years interpreted from going, like, from those little sprites or the little art from the Pokemon cards, things like that, and then seeing how they look in this movie, it's just gonna, like, I'm probably gonna cry at moments that aren't even worth crying over just because of how gorgeous it's gonna look.
Yeah.
But speaking of design, when the first trailer came out, people were freaking out over Jigglypuff, and they're like, who said Jigglypuff could have hair? And I'm like, what, did you think it was skin?
Yeah, like, that's the thing. That's
what is this?
I think that's something that, like, people who didn't see that rendering that artist had done, like, years ago, because I think that kind of got me prepared for it, because at first I was like, hold on, wait, and then I was like, I'd subconsciously, I guess, reference back to that. I'm like, yeah, they're supposed to be, like, animals or like pets, you know, like they would have
A turtle or a lizard or a mouse.
Exactly.
Like, it's like when you're looking at Mr. Mime and you're looking at the high resolution of how his skin, how it looks like massive pores all over his body and like the weird netting and everything like that. It's so like things will look that way in real life.
Yeah.
And people are freaking out about it being Pokemon because they've only seen it as these smooth designs, whether they've seen it, again, cards, sprites, or anime.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
So it's like,
that's the most appealing thing to me, though, like the renderings of the Pokemon. Because even when I was watching the trailer, I was like, Ryan Reynolds' voice takes me, and I love Ryan Reynolds too, but his voice is taking me out of it. I did wish it was a different voice, but when I was just looking at the renderings of the actual, I was like, man, and then they're putting multiple in, so it's not just one, like they're putting the group.
Yeah.
And when I saw Greninja, I was like,
oh, Greninja, okay. Greninja looks amazing. And I love how in the second trailer, how you just see like the little pads.
Yeah, yeah. Like when I saw, like, the pads, I was like, oh, they're doing Greninja in this.
So
and then when
good.
They showed it, I was like,
so good.
Yeah.
But I don't remember if they showed the full body of Greninja.
They did. They ended up showing it, like, it was almost at the very end of it.
Yeah, so I didn't recall how it looked, but I want to see, like, the tongue scarf going on. Like,
I forgot about the tongue scarf. That's right. Red scarf.
I guess we'll end on this one because I know you've thought about it, Nexi. Now that you've actually gotten to see what some of these renders look like, if you could own one Pokemon IRL, which one are you going
with? Oh, God, there's so many. I get asked, like, what's my favorite Pokemon? And it's like,
I
want to
know which one you want to own.
Do we go with, like, can I pick one legendary? Can I pick, like, I don't know. The one Pokemon that I think I would own because I feel like it's my spirit animal in Pokemon form is an Eevee.
Because
we're very basic type, like normal type. We're
just
kind of here. And then we have all of these different forms that we can take, all these different, like, in like kind of interests and different sides of ourselves that I really, like, that's one of my favorite thing about Eevee.
Yeah.
All the different possibilities of what it can be. And by the way, my favorite Eeveelution, Umbreon.
Okay.
Mm.
Love it. Okay. I love Umbreon.
I'm kind
of, looks so sleek and dark.
Kind of. I would go basic, sort of like you with Growlithe. I think I'd just go with a basic dog.
Arcanine's one of my favorites.
Yeah.
What Nine else? Tails. Is cute.
Yeah, we got Nine Tails.
I probably go with Bulbasaur.
You think so?
Really?
Yeah, he just seems chill. Chill plant, chilling, you know, in the corner.
I just
want
to hang out with him.
This is what chill, yeah. Hang out.
Curtis, how much thought have you put into...
Torterra or Venusaur or something? I don't know.
Venusaur's huge. I can't have a Venusaur in an apartment.
Keep that thing outside.
Oh, man, I don't know. It would be tough. Maybe... I don't know. I always really liked Onyx, and I know that's not like a practical... kind of pet, because it's probably going to be tearing up my carpet. If I have hardwood floors, it's going to be like scraping off.
That's an outside Pokemon.
Yeah, it's definitely outside. But Onyx, because, I don't know, just, you know, a little bodyguard, a little backup.
You better have high ceilings.
Well, that's the other thing I was thinking. I was like, man, I can't like have like a short
apartment. If you want a bodyguard, you should have like a Steelix. The evolution.
Okay, so that, is that the later?
The evolution, yeah.
Okay.
They gave him an evolution
Steelix
later.
Steelix is the evolution of...
Yeah. WWE fan in chat says it's like your pet rock. There you go.
Yeah.
If you want a pet rock, you would have Geodude.
Oh, snap. You're taking it back.
Let's see. Someone said they wanted Pikachu. Ego Brain says Pidgeot.
Pidgeot.
Why?
That's the lamest. Pigeon?
Why would you want the most basic bird type Pokemon?
No, Pidgey is basic, but Pidgeot is pretty awesome.
It's the same thing, but bigger with longer hair.
But it's cool.
No.
And you can probably fly on it.
No, if you're going to fly on something, pick something doper.
Like a Charizard?
Yeah, you can fly on a Charizard.
Dude, maybe I do want a Charizard. I don't know. Maybe it just looks so cuddly.
Lost Sheep wants a Magikarp.
Yes.
Just sits there while I watch TV just flopping around. You want some water, bro? Magikarp.
Reminds me of the episode when Jesse and James try to eat a Magikarp because that's like the only food that's left on like their version of the Titanic, which I think was the SS Anne, but I don't know if that was confirmed in the anime because I don't remember entirely.
I remember that episode.
But it's when the boat is sinking.
Yeah.
And like they just all of this, everything goes to hell. It's basically Pokemon Titanic.
Yeah.
But without the new drawing.
Next story we got is we'll kind of burn through this one real quick. Anthem price drops on PS4 and Amazon 5 days after release, so it's still listed at $60 on the rest of the platforms, but on PlayStation and for Amazon you can get it for $52. And basically the complaints are weak story mode.
Mm-hmm.
Go fucking figure. Everyone was calling it the Destiny clone, so
dang.
You know that's gonna be a thing. Unpolished, unfinished feel to the game. Overuse of humor also takes away from the serious emotional investment of moments. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, I was shocked by that one.
Yeah, seeing that humor would be a problem in the game. The fact that there is humor, I guess, is a problem because there's nothing wrong with having a serious game, folks.
Like, you wouldn't look at it and think that this is gonna be like a comical game.
Destiny comedic, has a little bit of comedy in it, but they have Nathan Fillion throwing it down, like, you know, it's like it's like subtle. It doesn't take away from the plot, but I'm very curious on this one. I will be picking it up here in the next week just because there's just a curiosity. This game had so much hype, talking about it for too many years to not play this one. But anybody else in the room even planning on picking up Anthem?
I won't be picking it up, but I did see some I watched just some gameplay footage. And I kind of saw what they were saying because, you know, like you can have a funny game, a comedic game. But like even if we're using Marvel movies, like they're pretty funny throughout. But those moments, they protect those moments where you get that emotional investment. Mm-hmm. So you do stay invested in that. And I guess, you know, in a game like this, if your story mode's already weak and then the few moments that you do have to pull people in the game to make them play more outside of the gameplay, if you goof that, then, yeah, it's kind of like. Well, all that's left is the gameplay, and the gameplay doesn't feel like you guys finished it before you put it out.
Yeah. It's like a game. A lot of people are like debating on what the most important part of a game is. Like, right. It's been going on for as long as video games have been around, mm-hmm. where it's like gameplay, story, graphics.
Right.
Like,
yeah, the trifecta.
It's like what is the thing that makes the game?
Yeah.
And it's like you may have like this or that, but I feel like gameplay is an important part of it. Graphics, it's very dependent on what the expectation is set at.
True.
But story and all of that is in the writing of dialogue or anything like that. It's very important to immerse yourself in that game and feel any sense of enjoyment.
Right.
Whether that enjoyment is a sad moment, a comedic moment, right, or anything like that, you're still being invested and you're going to want to put time into it. You're going to want to tell people about it.
Yeah.
So it's like, if they're butchering that, then who the hell is going to want to play this?
What's
going
right.
to... Aside from the hype that's been going on about it, I feel like the hype... Like, I've seen zero of Anthem. Like, well,
the,
I don't
The bad
care.
Thing about this yeah. game so is that after all the talk, we've yeah. been talking about this game actually
it's
for over a year.
Hyped, yeah.
Like, we've really been talking about this game. Compare and contrast this with Apex. We didn't even know that shit was coming.
Yeah, that hit quick.
And it hit quick, and it exploded. And then this news story, I basically realized that Anthem came out. Like, I live on Twitter, in video game Twitter, and nobody's talking about it. There's no memes even of how bad it is.
No.
So that's bad.
It's
that's
not
bad.
Even worth it. It's not worth it to meme.
Yeah, it's not even bad that's enough to become bad. A joke. So it's really bad. And the amount of advertising that they put into this one, the amount of development and sheer just promotion at events leading up to this point, compare and contrast to Apex. There's no marketing. Like, they blew it all just in getting streamers to play it, and then the streamers were like, holy fuck, this is fun, and people like watching it, and now it's a thing.
Yeah.
Anthem blew it, bro. It's like, it's done. It's,
their priority,
it's really bad.
Their priority was getting the word out there in such a marketing way, but that could have been spent, like, financially and with their time that was used for it. It's like, all of that could have been to make the game better, to go through everything. Kind of like you're taking a test and you're not just going to turn in a test without checking your answers.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah, and that's exactly
to
what they
check
did.
What you're putting out there, especially after all of this hype, and make it worthwhile for people after however long it's been since all of the hype began. So
we'll move on from that one. I'm sure we're gonna follow it in the next I will have an actual review here for in the next few weeks. I'm not sure when maybe I'll wait another 5 days when the price goes even more lower.
And there's a pretty big update coming pretty soon too.
Is there
supposed to add stuff and help it
add more humor?
They're in full Destiny like panic mode right now.
Destiny
like,
free fall. Really
yeah, they're in a free fall. The next one we can talk about, this is awesome, I guess. You got the new Overwatch hero, Baptiste. I don't know how to say it. Baptiste. I've heard it said a bunch of ways. All the names for all the characters. I still don't know how to say Brigitte or Brigitte or whatever.
Bridget.
That
it's Bridget.
It's Bridget. No. Yeah. It's Bridget.
Brigitte.
So this guy's Baptiste. He is a
Baptist.
It's Baptist.
He's they basically ripped off the storyline from Star Wars. He's essentially Finn. He was like, he was a kid, drafted into Talon, which is a bad organization. And then he finally, you know, he wanted to be independent, breaks free, and now he's a freedom fighter.
Right.
So they took that storyline. He's like a male version of Bangalore from Apex Legends, essentially. He's got a nice kit. Like, their whole thing with him was like, do you want bullets or bandages? His primary fire is actually hit scan, so he's a high accuracy character. It's burst fire, so it's just like you're shooting an old Halo battle rifle. And then his alternate fire, right click, is a grenade that does healing, so it's like a little aerial heal. His first ability heals himself and everybody around him over time. His other one is called an immortality field, which is a shield that pops up circular around him, and you cannot die while it's up.
Whoa!
I think you could shoot through it and everything, but you just you're basically
it just absorbs.
But I heard that Sombra can hack you at any time.
Good.
So it's a hard. She's a hard counter to that.
Okay.
Yeah,
makes sense.
That's really good because he's also like when you think about it, that's a hard counter to a Zarya grab.
Yeah.
Like if you get Zarya grab, they usually the whole team drop a D.Va bomb, but you have that one immortality field and you just survived it all.
Yeah.
Rochambeau.
Yeah. I guess that's okay, but that's the thing with Overwatch. It's so much based about hard counters, like, and not just about that's being able to have a reasonable comp no matter what anybody's playing.
Right.
So it's kind of feel like.
Yeah, I mean that's kind of like with Apex.
Yeah.
Like, there's no like. You don't have to, like, okay, I have to pick this character because they're probably... The meta is, like, this character I have to counter. Yeah, there's none of that.
Yeah.
Like bringing it back to a Pokemon. You can still have a Pokemon whose type is weak against the one that you're fighting, but you still have, like, a really good... You have a fighting chance.
Yeah.
So But it's not dependent on, like, oh, there's this, so I have to counter it with this. And I feel like it's really rough of a game to kind of not allow there to be that balance.
His other abilities are he could jump really high. If you crouch, it like charges his jump.
Okay. And then he can jump charge.
Yeah. He could jump. He in the practice range, he could hit like the tops of all those buildings. Like
that is high.
He has some hops. And then the ultimate ability, it's kind of underwhelming visually.
Yeah.
He basically makes a square, like a shield looking thing, but when you shoot through it, damage is heavily amplified. So it's pretty cool. You could do a lot of damage. Like, I've seen Reinhardt Firestrike through it and just mow people down. Like, it's a pretty powerful thing. It's going to take a lot of tweaking. He's got a lot. I think he's a high skill character again, which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Definitely not as much love as Ashe was getting when she came out. Like, because they came out with that video.
Yeah, it was a whole thing.
Everyone loved Bob and stuff. This one's kind of a lot quieter. Hopefully the character will break the GOATS meta. Like, if you guys are following Overwatch League or any of Overwatch Twitter, you'll know that there's a meta currently called GOATS, which is 3 tanks, 3 supports, and it's not the most entertaining thing to watch.
No, that'd be very, very underwhelming to watch, because you're not going to get a lot of good, like, pop-offs, a lot of good fights. It's just
same things all the time. Yeah. You're waiting for Zarya grabs, you're waiting for D.Va bombs, you're waiting for Transcendence. Like, you're just waiting for the same ults and the same sequence over and over again. And then there's no space. There's very little space for, like, flashy, fun DPS characters like Genji or even Widow. Like, watching someone go ham with Widow headshots is that's hype moments. Boom! Oh!
Yeah.
Boom!
That's why I main Widow.
Yeah, nice. So you can miss all those headshots.
Don't call me out like that.
Well, again, that's another one we're going to be watching because it's still in the PTR. You know, all the ideas and stuff going around. People are saying that it's going to break GOATS meta. Other people are saying it made it stronger. So there's a lot of up in the air going on. The last thing we'll talk about before we head out, which is another big topic, is EVO 2019.
EVO.
Tell us what happened, Kurt.
Man. So everybody, of course, is watching the little EVO, like EVO's direct thing, you know, them talking about the lineup of games and everything that's going to be there this year. And it's I've watched everybody's reaction videos of them just like naming all the games and then talking about it. And I literally forgot the name of the last game that they announced, because once they announced it, I just remember everybody's reaction, like, kind of like, what was the name of that Pokemon?
Oh, yeah. They were looking like a Sobble.
That might have to be the title. No Melee at EVO?
Yeah! There it is.
No Melee at EVO. So, that's a shot.
Dude, and you know, it's interesting because, again, they had the years of where it would be all the different games, you know, your Street Fighters, your Mortal Kombats, but it's funny, like, I remember last year when there was no Capcom versus Marvel Infinite, like, when that got struck down, and everybody was like, whoa, like, they're really cutting stuff. So, when Ultimate came out, it didn't surprise me, like, you don't have to worry about CRTs anymore.
Yeah, that's
true. Some of the stuff we're talking about, it's a lot. It's and you're probably going to funnel, because so many people put, if you're going to EVO, people start putting money aside early. So the people that were going to go to EVO, probably still going to go, a lot of them. But I just feel like some of the people from out of the country that were coming for Melee, they're probably going to be the ones that don't come this time.
Because Melee will still be there, right? It's just not going to be on a main stage or anything.
No, it's not at all.
Wait, there's not even a sign-up, a bracket?
No Melee. Holy. None.
No.
No Melee.
That's why that should have been the whole episode.
It's that real,
God,
yeah.
That's real, because that's a shot to grassroots. In general, like, there's still a huge grassroots community behind that game. That would still probably pull bigger numbers than an Ultimate.
I think if it lasted in EVO one more year, then I would say maybe. It's just there's so many copies of Ultimate got sold and so many, like, new people coming in. And it's the wave right now. But, yeah, like, this, you know, but at the same time, you know, this isn't the first time Melee hasn't been at EVO. It was, I think it was gone for, was it 3 years or 2 years? Like, a while back. I know it missed a year, and people were talking about that. So I think that's the other reason why some of them weren't – they were disappointed but not surprised. Like I said, we were talking about this in the car. It's a matter of time. It's a GameCube game. GameCube. And I got love for Melee and all that stuff, and I got love for the community. And they're going to keep it alive, but at Evo, where you're going to get the biggest viewers and numbers, it's not going to be there.
They're doubling down. Like, a lot of the community is like, the memes are like, you know, you think it's dead, but now you've just made us stronger.
Right.
So there's the meme of Perfect Cell from Dragon Ball Z with the Melee standing in front of all the other games. And I saw another one. You remember the old school Undertaker?
Oh, yeah.
How he would sit up when he was in the casket? Yeah. Someone posted that one. Like, the Smash community is awake now. Like, you woke us up. Like, we're pissed.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Because, I mean, and again, I got love for Melee. And I think Melee, like, the whole Melee community, if it's your community, make it yours, keep it going, all that stuff. But reality of the fact is, like, there's going to be a day that Smash Ultimate isn't at a tournament. Like, Brawl's gone. Smash 4, they dropped immediately when Ultimate, you know, came out. Like, there's going to be this day was coming. Nothing lasts forever.
Yeah.
But, but everybody who loves playing Melee, like, keep playing it. Keep doing your weeklies. There's still going to be regionals. Other larger tournaments are still going to have it. But that's the other thing. Evo is not, like, one of those tournaments where it's, like, mainly Smash and then like everything else, like it's straight FGC, so it's everything. So I it doesn't surprise me that's the first one. It can drop Melee and not hurt. That's why the main reason why Evo, we're like, oh, we're big enough, we can drop it and not take a hit in numbers.
Yeah.
And then, like I said, just funnel everybody into Ultimate.
It encourages more people to play Ultimate is what it does. Of course,
Nintendo. Is this a Nintendo move?
I really thought that. I thought maybe Nintendo was working with Evo, and Dragon Ball isn't even on Sunday.
That's right. Yeah, I didn't realize that as well, which I thought that was kind of. But I mean, it's kind of.
Who killed it? Funimation, right? Or
I think it is Funimation, but I know the company itself kind of keeps stepping in and doing weird stuff.
Going to Twitter, a little bit of controversy. Actually, a former Evo winner in 2017 for Smash 4, Salem.
Young Salem,
after years of research.
Oh, the research. The research is real. It's real.
He posted just, finally.
Yeah, finally.
Finally.
You know, and that's one of the funniest things about this, because the whole beef with Salem and Leffen... you know, that had happened, you know, that started on Twitter and everything. It's just, but it's at the same time, it's funny because Leffen jumped over on Ultimate so hard.
Leffen plays everything, though. He plays Dragon Ball.
He's incredible at everything. So he plays everything. But just for that whole thing to go down and for everybody to, I don't want to say everybody turned on Salem, but he was everybody. Pretty much everybody.
Even if here's the thing, like, a lot of people don't disagree with him, but.
Yeah.
His approach was so wrong.
Yeah, it's how he did it. But he gets the last laugh after all. It's like Salem. That's funny.
So if you guys don't know, this guy Salem, he's an insanely talented player. He won Evo, which is saying a lot.
Oh, yeah.
He was a Bayonetta player, which means he's already at a disadvantage
in
the community's eyes, because that was seen as like a trolley character.
Oh, yeah.
But he was also one of the people who felt that the Melee community was toxic and killing the other Smash communities.
Yeah.
Like, you know, insulting them, making all the viewership go to one, and just, you know, sabotaging the other games.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he got roasted on social media because he made a tweet longer called After Years of Research. That was a brick. It was a book of text of a lot of nonsense.
A lot of research.
A lot of research went into that. Oh, so that was a good one. We actually got one more story we could dig into just at the end here. Captain Marvel anticipation and a little bit of controversy. Again, this is one I wasn't too sure of, but what's going on in that one?
It was so obviously the anticipation is higher and higher. The movie comes out next week.
It does?
Higher, fast, further.
It comes out next week?
Next week, baby.
Yeah, March.
Wow. Yeah. So, Well, wait, is it next week or the week after? I think it's next week. It should be next weekend, isn't it? The 8th, right?
Next weekend.
Weekend. So
I know when that is because I get paid on the 7th.
There you go. Money day. So you're definitely going. But
Cream.
Cream. Rules everything around me. But anyway, so the anticipation is coming. Everybody is interesting. The last few trailers really hooked me, and people started talking about it. We're seeing more of the storylines. And then Brie Larson is at some award show, and she makes a point. She's talking about inclusion, that, you know, and representation. That's a popular topic these days. But she made a reference about the movie A Wrinkle in Time. And she said, go fact check and watch the video, you know, because I'm just paraphrasing. But she made a reference about not caring what a 40-year-old white male thinks about the movie because it wasn't made for him. And I knew what she meant, but it's okay. Just, you know, even when you mean good, sometimes the wording can allow people to take it in the direction that they want to take it.
Yeah.
So that's what happened. The internet went crazy with it. Some of the people in the Star Wars community that, you know, that were
Star Wars community came out of their Sarlacc pits.
Yeah.
Just to start throwing insults around it. Did someone say it wasn't made for white males?
Yeah, right. So of course. Yeah.
This is following too the big controversy about it getting review bombed on Rotten Tomatoes already. It's so bad that it made Rotten Tomatoes decide, like, you know what, we're tired of this, and they're revamping their system.
Yeah.
So you can't just go and review bomb something just to review bomb it.
Yeah.
Much less do it before it's even out.
Yeah, because that's what it was. It was the that was their metrics for people interested in going to see it, and they said they believe that it got trolled by a bunch of people, so they just removed it altogether. So that sparked more controversy to the people.
Now they're censoring us.
Yeah, yeah. There's that whole thing. But
white guys can't do nothing no more. Right. We can't even review bomb movies.
So she came out and she clarify the statements and obviously the wording was much better. Disney, her PR people, everybody, they you know, she said, I'm not trying to take anybody's chairs away, I'm just trying to bring more chairs to the table. And I was like, thank you for saying it that way, because now, I mean, people can always try to twist your words, but if you look at that quote, you didn't say anything about anybody's color or their gender. You just said, I want to bring everybody in. Okay, cool, they can't screw with you anymore. And I think that is, like, some people are still trying to run with it, but I think pretty much at that point, it's dying down. So we can just get back to enjoying the movie for what it is, and then all of the messages that will be in the movie and all of the great storylines that will be in the movie.
Damn, what does this do to Avengers?
What does it do to Avengers? That's the other interesting thing. I think it will only help, because, you know, I don't agree to the whole thing that there's no such thing as bad publicity. I think there is bad publicity, but the fact of the matter that she kind of extinguished it and people are still talking about it, I think that people are going to go. It got really good early reviews. I think people are going to see it for what it is. I feel like it's going to be a good movie, and I think it's going to catapult people into Endgame. Okay. Yeah, I don't think it's going to be like, oh, we're ready. I think it's going to like push people into Endgame. Like, you got to go now, because
Like, you thought you were ready?
Yeah.
We're making you ready.
Yeah, you're making it ready or not, and just throw them off the deep end and see if they swim.
That's... Strap in, boys. We're going in.
Oh, yeah. I'm loving it. I can't wait.
Really sick. In all seriousness, we make jokes and stuff like that, but inclusion is super important, but also is your wording.
Yeah.
So it's like people are, in this day and age, just looking for reasons to be upset. And when you give it to them, it's making their job just that much easier.
It's true. You got to be on point with the words, because people will twist them. But she came out and cleared it up. And now everybody is ready to go.
I'm excited for it. Like, I didn't even know it was coming out, but it's just one of those ones where I was like, oh, whenever it's out, I'm going to go see it.
Yeah.
Just the Avengers Endgame. I'm so glad that I'm, hopefully, fingers crossed, going to be alive to see it. Like, that was my biggest fear. I've been saying that for years. I just don't want to die, because I don't want to miss what the Avengers sounds, how it ends. Like, this is like the most exciting of content that's ever been produced. It's been
most
going
ambitious
over.
Ambitious crossover.
It is legitimately.
22 films?
Yeah, that many films. It's the most significant universe in a movie, eclipsing Star Wars in its best day.
Yep. One more thing to quick add, though. So here's something else interesting. This might help motivate everybody, because remember every other time before, like, when there was an Avengers movie or a movie coming out, we knew what the next movie is? What's coming out after Spider-Man? What did they announce?
Is there nothing on the table?
Wow. They have things scheduled, but no names.
We don't have an official date. They have not given an official date for anything that's in production right now. We don't have anything at the end of the year. We know something's coming.
I see what but you're they have. But we don't know when.
Remember before he did the whole, hey, here's 10 movies. We're doing this one. We literally don't know.
Yeah.
Dang.
You know what? I'm okay with that, though.
Yeah, I think it's better.
I'm okay with that because that was part of what ruined the snap for me. Was I'm like, all right, well, he's coming back, she's coming back, because they all got movies in the next, you know, X amount of years. So,
yeah.
But I'm okay with, like, okay, well, how's Endgame gonna play into the future of the Marvel Universe?
Yeah, me too. I'm with it.
Nexus, what's going on with your streams?
I just did my first stream back last night after, like, 2 weeks of not doing anything, being as unproductive as always.
And how did it go?
It went as usual for my Dead by Daylight streams, which is not very good. No, it's fine. It had some really interesting moments in it. I got very badly jump scared to the point where I think that the other people in my house could hear me scream from upstairs.
Fight or flight.
Yeah. It was just like you. It was a flight.
Yeah. 90% of the time.
Oh yeah. So it just goes. All right. I'm getting back into it, and there's a lot that I have planned to set up for it, and I'm really excited.
Where can people watch you stream? And also, you're an artist too.
Yes.
So where can they go check out your artwork and watch your streams?
You can check out my streams, twitch.tv/nexuswashere_, and most of art that I post is going to be on twitter.com/nexuswashere. And also, speaking of art, for those watching the live stream.
Oh yeah, let's go to oh, NexiCam.
Let's stand up. Let's do this. The sweatshirt.
It's kind of sinister. It's kind of dark, but like still inviting. It's beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful artwork.
The design name is Divided, and soon they will be for sale.
Hey.
Soon. Nobody knows when that date is, not even me, but soon.
Just like the next Marvel movie.
Yep.
Yes.
David Webb, what's Marvelous. Going on? You got your new lights and stuff? When are the David Webb streams coming
back? Next week. Streams will be back next week.
And what can we expect?
We can expect more than likely Apex.
Apex?
That's why I'm on right now. Okay. I can't get off of it.
All right. And Curtis, what's going on with them Kings? What's going on with them streams?
Them Kings, we lost tonight. Playoff run. Not looking so great right now to get there, but that's okay. I still love my team. I'll be back. I was sick and I just got my energy back this week, so I'm starting to feel better. So I'll be streaming some NBA 2K. I'll be streaming some Smash, and I'm actually going to get back to reading comics online. I know I'm going to start people on East of West, which has the four horsemen of the apocalypse in it. That's why I said
David Webb. That's
dead.
Why I said that.
All ties in.
That's perfect. Yeah. So,
circle. So
if you guys, I'll tell you more about it. But tune in. I'm gonna go through East of West because the TV show will be coming soon too. So kind of like Deadly Class. I went through Deadly Class before the show came out. That was my favorite indie comic from Image, and now I'll be going through this one.
Sweet. I want to say a big thank you to everybody who turned up at the San Francisco Sharks watch party last weekend in SF at Lucky Strike. It was fun, man. I can't even explain. There was drink specials. They had shock shots for like $5, these creamsicle things, and a bunch of beer. It was just a lot of good times and a lot of people watching the games. They brought me out to do some MC work. And I actually got approached by quite a few fans who are in the Bay Area. So it's really good that you guys came out to support. If you guys are in the area, I'll be announcing more of those and hopefully getting a few more hosting gigs like that. San Francisco Shock play this week, tomorrow, the day this episode comes out, against the Hangzhou Spark. I probably butchered that name. And then we're playing against the Justice on Saturday before Video Game Bang. So you can watch that. And then you can come over here and watch us as we have more shenanigans. We wish the best for Emma Skies, who is not feeling well. She will also be out on Saturday. So send her some love on the social medias as well. But that's it for Nexi, David Webb, Curtis Fisher. My name is Corey, saying you've just been banged.